Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
No, I know that it's not an accident, not ever, that you're here. It was intentional. Nobody gets up on a Sunday morning and accidentally shows up at church. It takes work, and so I do respect and appreciate that you made the effort to be in God's house today. Okay, I'm going to dive right in. We have a new president. God, I need your help. We've got a shift of thinking going on right now. Bills that are coming across different states, governmental agencies here in Missouri. I'm getting inundated with you. Did you hear this? And it's not just here. I've got pastor friends all across the country. Here's what's going on here. Here's what's going on in Texas. Here's what's going on in California. Here's what's going on. And what do we do? And I'm going to tell you, I can't keep up with it all. Every day I'm getting more and more information coming in telling me what we need to be fighting, what is next in our world. And I mean, in 20 days, most national news sources are acting like everything's good. And I'll just go on record to say again, I don't trust any of them. Executive orders, when I wrote this, about executive orders, there was 17. Now there's 40 plus executive orders. Well, they don't mean anything. I don't know. Do they? The majority of them have a direct or indirect violation against Christian ethics and biblical views. And I prayed about teaching on all of them. And really, as I've asked myself this question, what I can tell you is there's an ideology that's going on across our country that needs to be addressed. And I want to talk about it today, about what's happening in our country. And it's not just in our country, and it's not just on the news, and it's not just at your work, and it's not just in your city, it's in the church. And if the church, God's people, can't figure out how to operate, how to think, and what to do, what hope do we have with a lost world? So I'm not going to speak to all the issues on news that's going on in our world and all the executive orders. Because the thing is, you might say, well, how does that violate the word? When you're in the word, you'll see that they violate. You'll see a little bit more about what God's pattern is. It's the last Sunday of January 2021, and I want to welcome you to today's message. For those of you that are here this morning, and for those of you that are listening online, that you are now hearing it on podcast. And I know that there are several in Washington right now that are fighting this on the front line. And I thank you for listening to this sermon. What do we do as a church? Let me just tell you, we got to be winning more and more people to right thinking. And we've got to see their thinking moved into action. Wednesday nights, we are going through Proverbs. What a time right now to be diving into Scripture and studying the Word on right thinking and operating in wisdom. And then using our thinking to move into action, which is wisdom. We've got to get God's people. We've got to do what we can to equip them. And that's what we're doing here on Sunday mornings intentionally, right here. We've got a factor, a portion, that what everyone is seeing they're seeing that it's okay, and I'm here to tell you it's not okay. And I'm speaking in generalities right now, I'll get more specific. But I'm seeing Christians bowing down and accepting changes in areas that should never be changed. Our thinking, based on the Word of God, needs to be indispensable. And that's the title of today's message, is Essential, Indispensable. And so we are so used to exploring everyone else's view and being careful not to step on anybody's viewpoint. And so let's look at how they think and let's hear what they have to say. And what I'm telling you is we've got to get to a point where we care more about what the Word of God says than what somebody's view is. I want to give you Paul's final advice, and if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. To the church at Thessalonica, Paul's saying you are highly essential. During these times, we need to be aware of what we are doing as we are awaiting Christ's return. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Oh, this is just a result of God's anger. Christian people need to hear this, because we got to make sure our thinking. God chose to save us through Jesus, not to pour his anger out on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. Amen. So, what do? Verse 11. Encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Now, you need to understand he's talking to the church right here. He's talking to the church that he had started in Thessalonica. This is Paul. And he's saying, hey, listen. You guys have been doing this. Don't quit. Build each other up. I'm watching in God's own house people being torn down because of the way that they view things, or because of this, or because what I'm telling you is if Christ is Lord of each of our lives, let's be careful that we're not tearing each other down here in the body of Christ. Here in the body of Christ. That's not what we're going to do. We encourage each other and we build each other up. Verse 12, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Hey, if you're lazy, quit being lazy. I urge you. We urge you to warn those who are being lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Not just care, but tender care. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil. Once again, this is to the church. You mean someone in the church would do someone evil? You bet. Just make sure that you don't pay them back evil for evil. But always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies. We've had a lot of prophecies. Don't scoff at prophecies. But test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. I want to talk about every one of these this morning, but for the sake of time and respect for you, you can dive in, and we just talked about them slow enough that hopefully you heard some things and went, yeah, I need to do better there. I need to do better. The one I want to talk about is hold on to what is good. Hold on to what is good. Verse 21, hold on to what is good. The essential message that we have this year for our church, if we're going to see ourselves as essential, then one of the areas of being essential means being indispensable. Absolutely necessary, fundamental and basic is what essential means. Dispense means to do away with. If we do not know what is good, then we can't hold on to it. If we don't know what's good, how do you hold on to it? The reason why we don't have an uprising because of 40 different orders that we've watched sign is because we don't have people really knowing what's good. Is a pipeline good? Well, that's your opinion. There's a lot of people obviously thinks it's not. Pastor, I can't believe you said. I'm just telling you, if we don't know what's good, what are we going to hold on to? Let's just sign it away. We don't need 11,000 workers out there. Unless you're one of the 11,000. See, I don't, hold on to what does that mean? Hold on to what's good. It means to never get rid of it. This is essential. Never before in the history of mankind has change occurred at the rapid pace we're watching it occur right now. 600 years, 6,000 years of recorded history, man went to the restroom outside. We washed our clothes in a creek. You lit up an inside area that was dark with a flame. Kids grew up doing exactly what their parents and their grandparents did. And you got from one place to the other based on either a boat or an animal or your feet. Just in the last 100 to 150 years, some major changes have happened. And when you're looking at 6,000 years of recorded history, you need to understand the factories that we see now, travel, our entertainment. I mean, in 1942, there are some people in this room that were alive then. In 1942, you need to understand some things that happened. The first computer came into existence and it weighed 50 tons. In the 1980s, I was in school. And it was in the 1980s that computers first entered the school systems. I remember that. For 6,000 years, you baked a potato over a fire. A few years ago, we started baking them in an oven for an hour, hour and a half to get them to the right consistency. Now in 5 minutes, we put them in a microwave. See, I'm just look at the way things have innovated. Fast food, you wanted a hamburger, you had to get your bow out. And it didn't have wheels on each end. And you had to get pretty close. And I'm talking about the work that went into a hamburger was way different than driving through the drive-thru and ordering it, and in a minute and a half, it's at the window, and you're not mad if it's 5 minutes. Can we talk about phones? Hey, Siri. Everybody freaks out. Don't say that. I've always wanted to say that just in a public gathering. All these phones go. I left my phone in the car on purpose. Because every time I say, hey, Siri, or anything that even sounds close to that, yes, how can I help you? Oh, right now, justice is at work. I knew somebody's would. His face is red. I love it. Innovation's faster than anything I can imagine. Siri, I mean, it's just, you ask her to turn your lights on, to turn your car on. If you got her in your house, we have smartphones, smart houses, smart cars. And it leaves me with a question that you need to know is very difficult for me. It's real hard on me because I just can't keep up with it. What do we do with all this outdated stuff? Because the innovation that we live in is every 6 months, Something's old. I had a drawer for a long time in my office that was full of phones over the last 10 years that have just went in there, and I'm holding on to them because I think that they're good. You know why I think they were good? Because they served the purpose when I needed them, and they were good. And I know the Bible says to hold on to what is good, not put them in a drawer. And I've held on to them. And if someone needs one, I got one for you. I have boxes of cassettes. And now I have boxes of CDs. My mom has more stuff than I have. She has rotary phones. I'm sure. I haven't found them yet in her pile of stuff, but they're there somewhere. I'm guessing she probably has a bag phone still. I held on to a bag phone for a long time. So what do we do with this stuff? We dispose of it. TVs, computers, cell phones. I mean, I can't believe it. Half of my life is in the dumpster. It really is. And I have a hard time with this. I mean, I'm forcing myself to be okay with throwing things away. And we've got an older generation that they are not going to. See that? And we've got a younger generation that can't wait to throw something away. There's an ideology that I don't think we've addressed when we're looking at holding on to what's good. Because we've got a mindset. I mean, I have shoes older than the TVs that I've thrown away. I'm not kidding. And it's okay with my generation and older. They're all like, yeah, I mean, Deanne's amen to me right now on the front row. I can see her head going, that's right, I do. So is Ruth. Looking around, some of y'all are going, you need to throw some shoes away. If they're older than your TV, that's too old. I have seen how quick things are coming back in style. Pastor, I just never have a flip phone. Some of you are going, I don't even know what a flip phone is. That's how quick it's turned. I mean, this next generation is always into the new version. And there's a worldview that's going on that anything 10 years ago is outdated and we don't need it anymore. I'm telling you, my grandfather kept everything. And it was frustrating to me. So I kind of get to a point where I understand. There's a pile of metal over here that looks hideous. There's this over here. Plastic bags. I think when plastic bags were invented, he bought one package of them. Sandwich bags, the Ziploc, all of that. And he never needed another one. You know why? Because every time he'd use one, he'd just rinse it out and hang it over the faucet and let it dry out. Anybody have a grandparent like that? Oh, we have people in here that are like that. I'm going to offend somebody today. My grandfather, I'm just telling you, he could never get okay with bottled water. Bottled water? And here's what he would say. I never, ever would have imagined that I would live to see the day where water cost more than gas. And that amazed me when he said it, but I had to think about it. You've got a bottle of water that's 99 cents and you can get a gallon of gas for $2. I mean, you just got to know it doesn't equate. These bottles of water that we're paying for more for water than gas. And I thought, he's got a point here that I need to hear. When your TV broke down 20 years ago, you took it to a TV repairman. There is no TV repairman now. You throw it in the trash and you go get a new one. And today it's cheaper, it's easier, and it's quicker. You need to hear those words. It's cheaper, it's quicker, and it's easier to just go get a new one. It's cheaper and it's quicker and it's easier. What is so significant about that? Because now that's exactly how we view everything in society. See, time, effort, and money is required to fix something. So you can just write it down. Money, effort, and time is not seen the way it was seen even 100 years ago. let alone 6,000 years ago, when we have something that needs fixed, everyone sees it as outdated by the time it needs fixed. You just throw it away. Church, there are consequences you need to understand to everything. And I think about this, and my mind just is always like this. If you've spent any time with me, you can know this is just the way my mind works. Everything you say, everything you think, and everything you do, you need to understand. The way you think it, the way you do it, the way you say it, the way, all of those things have a consequence. We've talked to that about our basketball team. We've talked to about our kids in school. We've talked about it to our staff here. And I just want you to know, it don't stop. It needs to be talked about to God's people. Yeah. Everything you think, everything you say, everything you do has a consequence. At 13, when we are teaching our 13-year-olds that we throw this away and just get a new one because it would take too much money, effort, and time to do that, what happens when they turn 23 and are married? Well, I just throw this guy away. I have somebody else out there that's better. I don't need this. Are you starting to get the correlation of where I'm headed? Maybe I've already got there, and you're like, okay, just go on. We need to be careful about looking at someone who has a different thought than we do as negative. Now, hear that. But when that thought we are entertaining is doing away with something that is good according to the Word of God, we need to be able to define the difference. What are the consequences of a generation that wants to look down their nose at the way their parents and their grandparents did it? This is not just for my kids to hear. Nor yours. Consequences, the way their parents discipline their kids, well, that's not the way I'm doing it, so we have no discipline. The way their parents got along and stayed married or didn't, I'm not, the way their parents heated their house, the way their parents viewed their country, the way their parents were committed to church, the way their parents viewed life, that's all old and outdated. We better be careful not to throw all that thinking in the dumpster. Right. See, what it will produce when a generation rolls their eyes and says, come on, it's 2021, you need to update your life, get you 40 executive orders. You better hold on to what's good. But we've got administrations that aren't holding on to anything that's good because we have a new way of thinking. Come on, it's 2021. Come on, man. Oh, excuse me. That's a phrase that I didn't have. You mean you don't pay your bills online? You mean actually pay for things with cash? You bet I do. We better be careful with always thinking we need to get with the times. See, I'm okay with a younger audience. I've got to give some disclaimers today saying you all, come on, mom, dad, you did a great job, and we're going to make some improvements on what you did. We're going to be a little more efficient. We're going to be a little more productive. We're going to do things and not spend as much time. See, there's some time-consuming things. We're just going to do it. But I'm not okay with this mentality of the way you did it is so outdated, we're going to throw everything away and reinvent something and make it better when we don't give any sight to what was already working. See, your parents got up and went to church every Sunday. But that's old and outdated. And so now we have parents signing their kids up for a ball tournament and taking them out of church for the next 8 Sunday mornings in a row, since the way your parents did it was reserve Sundays for church only. That's not the way. We need to do it different. I highly intend for the Word of God to be offensive to people. Hebrews 10:25 is where I got that mentality. That didn't just come out of my... See, there's got to be some pastors who will stand up and say, the way that the church is thinking needs to take some changes. Yeah. Well, why'd you get on that one? I can get on 100 of them. It's not just about church attendance. What I'm telling you is at some point, we've got to make this about how we stay married. We've got to make this about how we're going to parent our kids, how we're going to handle our finances. Our theme this year is essential, and essential means indispensable, and there are things that are indispensable. I know what playing ball on weekends is going to produce in young people's hearts about the importance of God's house. When they get married, all of a sudden they get a spouse that sees the church as indispensable, but they're married to someone who doesn't, and now you got marriage trouble. Yeah. I know what road that thinking is going to take people down later on in life. There are consequences to the way we're thinking. There are some things in life that are indispensable. They're just not disposable. Let me say it like that. We need a worldview reset. And I'm willing to admit that me personally, I've been fighting some of this myself. That's why I have a whole drawer full of cell phones that are 10 years old. And I want you to know I'm working on it. I've recovered a lot, and I threw those in the trash. But you're not going to mess with my cassette player. Not yet. I even got a few 8-tracks. I don't have an 8-track player, but I got some 8-tracks just in case one gets reinvented, because things come back. And for life to work in a manner that you're going to live happy and you're going to live blessed, you need to know what is disposable, and you need to throw some of the things away that are disposable. I get that, and let's clear some things off. But you know, everyone has dug in a trash can for something that accidentally got thrown away. Has anybody done it? Come on, I got to get in there. I got to find something. Something was thrown in this trash. I have taken more than one of the pee traps off of our sinks because something went down them, and we were looking for what in the world? Where did that go? Maybe it went down the sink. And I'm talking about when you get in there, you find a bunch of hair, you find a bunch of slime, and you reach your finger in there and you touch something like, what is that? I don't even want to know. That is gross. That is nasty. And I've been right there in all that muck looking for something that was valuable. There was some value in there. What I want you to see today, don't get such in a disposable mindset in this world that we throw away some things that are valuable. But what I'm finding is we are. And the church better know what is valuable. And if we're not careful, our next generation, if we're not teaching them, hold on, that's a valuable thought. I know that's the way that the world plays ball. But here, we're doing it a little different. See, I know that that's the way the world treats their spouse. But here we're doing it a little different in this house. I know that that's the way the world. Yesterday morning was a gun show in Reed Springs, Missouri, held by and operated under the influence of the sheriff of Stone County, Missouri. And it was held at a church, and I like that. Thought that's pretty cool. So I call my son-in-law and I say, gun show. Thinking he's going to drop everything that he had going on, but it just happened to be his daughter's birthday. And he said, I'm taking her out for breakfast. Get some priorities, son. What? The fact is, he's got them. See, as important as a gun show is, I'm throwing some things away right now. Your son or daughter is more important. And we've got to get to a place in life where we see some value in things we've lost our value in. I can talk about this till I'm blue in the face. Veronica, I want you to come up here for just a moment. We've got to be careful, and we've got to slow down. There are disposable things that we need to get rid of. You need to hear that. But be careful not to throw away some of the things that are valuable. Because we live in a fast-paced world. Joshua 1, be careful to obey these instructions and be sure to obey everything in it. Church, God's word is not disposable. And if you're listening to news sources more than you are the Word, you've disposed of some things that you need to dig back out. Well, I didn't throw it in the trash. It might as well be in the trash because it's not getting in your mind.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.